In the studio, I've got Marie Harworth. Good morning.
To Maria, Aaron, and Flying It Off.
Welcome to the studio. Well, I say that, we've been here for 20 minutes already. 25, actually. Yep. We've been sitting here chatting about things we're not going to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
What we're going to talk about, I love this phrase. This is part of, we were talking about this earlier. Marie wrote down, online relaxation. And I was just, made me laugh because... That's a contradiction, isn't it?
It is.
It's a total contradiction to say, oh yeah, I want to relax, I'm going online. Who does that?
Well, you probably find a lot of people do because we probably believe that it is relaxing.
It's not a
good escapism.
You go online to escape, but I don't feel like we go online to relax anymore. Mm. Maybe that's just me. Maybe some people do. Maybe some people are going, no, I go in and... I mean, if you're watching a soothing movie, movies aren't soothing though. If you're watching some soothing music or some meditation stuff, like everything is online. So I'm just trying to argue against myself for a moment. But it was the discussion where that phrase came from is there was someone else I was talking to earlier in the week about people are overwhelmed. Everyone's overwhelmed at the moment. I think a lot of us think it's because of the COVID effect and the years following COVID. And now we have a thing they're calling the cost of living crisis, which we've actually had for 40 years. But there's been a sudden step up. And I think that's what COVID has done, is it's forced sudden changes. So a lot of people don't want to work in the jobs they used to have because the jobs are crap. The jobs have been, well, you know, poor conditions, bad wages.
Mm.
That we've been on a trajectory increasing that since 1984 in this country, and I was thinking eventually that's going to tell people are going to stop wanting to do these jobs. And what COVID did was it meant a whole lot of people decided all at once, and so in America they call it the Great Resignation.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and
sounds great.
The overwhelm, yeah, doesn't it?
Let's resign.
There's a line from a song I remember from 20 years ago. I'm calling for a mass resignation. I really liked that line. I didn't like where I was working at the time. So we're in a period now where a whole lot of people have suddenly just feel like they want change, or a whole lot of people suddenly feeling overwhelmed. Mm. And so we tend to put the blame on the COVID years for that. Possibly we might. But it's more of a triggered a problem, an underlying problem that was already there. And I was wondering, and I don't know how many other people feel this, whether I feel like when I'm, like I do feel overwhelmed with too much information.
Good feeling word.
And I... Thank you, Councillor Murray. And so I'm trying to remember, where was I going with that?
I don't know.
What were the words I was saying?
Overwhelmed.
Because I don't go on Facebook much socially. I do it at work. Who goes on Facebook socially? I don't go on Facebook and Instagram and sites like that, but I do spend a lot of time on YouTube. And I do watch a lot of... well, they've got short videos there now, so that's like being on Instagram, but also watch a lot of stuff that's kind of informational that I click on.
Boring.
But whatever you want is there, right? Whatever you like, you can click on. But the point is, it's not exactly relaxing to be learning new stuff all the time.
Exactly.
Or to be watching short videos that chop and change and chop and change. Like a movie, you can watch a movie and come out of that feeling refreshed sometimes if it's the right movie.
Yeah.
Does anyone come out of social media feeling refreshed?
Well, I must admit, I watch... so it's a bit of a...
This is from my opinion.
To and fro from me, I think. Part of me wants to go, well, actually, I watch a lot of funny things online.
Oh, yeah, funny stuff is good, yes.
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 And so I find with the work that I do, I tend to go online and watch... I just tend to watch the funny videos about animals, or I watch a lot about animals. I'm pretty boring. Sorry. But I do like to laugh. I think, laughter's a really big thing for me.
Yeah.
And so my married name's Harworth, but my actual maiden name is Watts. So I'm a Watts through and through, and there's a laugh in our family. That's a typical Watts laugh. If you heard my sister, you wouldn't be able to tell us apart. I only notice it when I'm around here.
Okay,
and
right.
I think because laughter for us, you know, it breaks stuff. It cuts the tension out. of the air or the day or whatever it is that you might be going through, and it just breaks that, you know, that feeling of everything so full on right now. So laughter is a big one for me. Tend to go on and
that, so that isn't that is an antidote to that. But when I described the situation to you before, your comment was that we're overstimulating ourselves on our downtime, or stimulating ourselves on our downtime.
So we go on for relaxation, don't we?
Yeah, but it's not relaxing.
No,
it's because it's designed to keep grabbing your attention so you won't go away. Yes. Rather than draw, like a movie draws you into a slower story, but social media by its nature is just trying to grab you for a few seconds at a time and keep stimulating keep your attention. I don't know, I need to find some experts who say this, not just me, but I wonder if that's part of why people feel overwhelmed at the moment.
Yeah, well, what I wanted to say about that, we're teaching our brain, you know, our brain and our mind is receiving this information in like flashcards, coming up before our eyes, you know, and so everything the eye sees informs us. So we are grabbing things very quickly through the eye, information, snippets of pictures, just flashing through. And so the brain gets used to quickly kind of going through stuff instead of where we may have been, which was, you know, when we didn't have devices and we were outside more and we probably were more connected to nature and things like that. The mind was able to slow down. We didn't have this information coming at us. We didn't have the eye contacting to constant movement of pictures and information. And so we get to rest, you know, and we get to be calm. Well, kind of not really happening now, so we tend to use our devices to escape or to get away and find some peace away from others. We'll go on our phone. I'm just as bad as anyone else. I go on my phone and I start flicking through and I have to make sometimes I have to make a very conscious effort, like, put your phone down, that's enough. Right, because it's grabbed me, and I think when you get used to flicking through things like that, you believe that is relaxing for you, that you are getting time out, that you are finding some sense of peace in this, but actually,
well, you're getting a dopamine hit, so it feels good. And I know if I sit down at there's a particular computer in the house where I watched a lot of YouTube videos, and if I sit down to do some work there, it's quite hard.
Yes.
Because all the signals I'm about to get a little social media dopamine hit, a little short video dopamine hit, and then I don't get it, and my body's like,
grumpy now. That's not right.
Give it to me now. I want it now. Yeah. Stop doing that. Give me the dopamine.
Yeah, and we need that. That's why we need laughter. Laughter, oxytocin, you know, feel-good feelings. We need to be uplifted because the things that we are connecting to can be quite soul-destroying, you know. They're not very hopeful, or they're quite... or everyone's got something better than me, or somebody's more happier than me, or they're earning more money than me because they're doing this on social media and they're earning lots of money. And yeah, everything's sort of is geared up to look at everyone else.
I tell you what, one thing about YouTube is there is a lot of stuff that does actually make you feel good.
Nice. YouTube is supposed to be one of the safest platforms, I believe. I could be totally wrong about that, but I've heard that it's one of the safest platforms to be on.
All I can say is my experience is you can find your way through to stuff where it's just there's stuff that's feel good or fun. And then what you find in the comments section, instead of people arguing, they're competing to make the wittiest comment or the funniest comment, and then people upvote it. So if you don't watch the video as soon as it comes out, if you come back after a couple of days, there's often some really funny comments that you can enjoy as well.
So we've ruined it for everyone because now everyone's going to go on YouTube.
Well, the trouble is if they go to YouTube now, it'll serve up whatever they've been looking at most recently or what it thinks that they've wanted in the past.
The algorithm
will do that well, but you might need to consciously change what you watch to change what the algorithm serves up.
Yeah, and you don't have to watch, you know. I agree. Some things have come up on my feed sometimes, and I've thought, that's not anything I would watch.
Well, sometimes it'll throw something different at you to see if you click on it, which is a smart thing to do. It's like, oh, maybe it'll be something that you might like, and it doesn't know. It's just randomly thrown a bit of something. But
wow,
it's just in case. Right? To expand your interest, keep you on YouTube longer. Right?
I tell you what, it's a whole world out there that you don't understand.
But you have to take charge. Of that situation. You do. And you have to, and this applies to all the social media as well. Like, you have to be disciplined not to click on the conflicty things.
Yeah.
Because it'll be like, because the algorithm is like, you hated that, wait till you see this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you clicked on this, I'm going to bring you more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it made you angry, just try this.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if we just go on that information, already I can feel myself tense. My body feels tense because.
Well, click on the cat video. Imagine a cat video, Marie. Cat videos are good for your soul. There you go.
There we go. I can calm again. But, you know, it's this overstimulation. We do. We're being overstimulated and we're wondering why we're wound up like spinning tops, you know, and we can't relax and we've got anxiety and we, you know, everyone's got anxiety. You know, but. Really, in reality, anxiety is a normal emotion. It's not something that we want to be afraid of. Anxiety is our warning bells. It's our little red flags.
But if it's chronic, I think that's the issue, isn't it?
Well, this is it. But we're living in a world that anxiety feels very chronic for a lot of people. It feels at that, you know, we're at a 10 with anxiety because people are struggling to go out. They're struggling to connect with people, have conversations with people. Yeah. So online seems to be much easier to connect here than it is to another human being because we have to be present and we have to hold conversation and we have to hold attention longer than 3 minutes.
The antidote to the short form stuff is online as well, or an antidote, which is long form podcasts. We're interviews, chats, discussions go for 2 hours, 3 hours. I saw one that went for 8 hours.
Wow!
Once, but there is. That's a completely different form where you can get deep into an issue, and that's an antidote to the. Before social media, we just had TV news, which was far too short to actually inform you properly. These long form podcasts are an antidote to that, but they're also an antidote to the frenetic, superficial. New, something new every 60 seconds part of social media where you can just go deep into something, you can get to know the person and you feel like, and the thing, the same as what we're doing now, there's three people involved in this, there's you, me and the listener and everyone listens in as an individual as if they're part of our conversation and so these long form podcasts are doing that too, so it can be quite a nourishing thing if it's something you're interested in. It's still not the same as a real relationship, but it is way better, and if it's a subject you're in, way better than short form social media. And if it's a subject you're interested in or a person you're really interested in, then it really is good. Can be very satisfying.
I agree with you. I think that those long ones, information based, or maybe just hearing another person's story, sounds.
Or, it's just, or even sometimes it's just kind of like shooting the breeze, you know.
But my question might be if, you know, the person who is doing the podcast, the only one who knows how successful that kind of interviewing is or that kind of podcasts are, is the person doing the podcast who can look on their YouTube channel and see the analytics of it and how many people. You say you might have a lot of people clicking on, but did they actually watch it? Did they zap out halfway through or 5 minutes in? Well, that is where the information that I'm interested in.
Well, I mean, like,
I'd be interested in that because that tells you a lot about our how we are doing social media. Is if you look at the analytics of your podcasts or your YouTube channel, you're going to see the rate people are coming in and what they're actually watching. So you might have 600 views on your on your
Oh, yeah, but they might have left after 3 minutes.
Yeah, so the only person that can actually give you the right information about that, Aaron, is the person that can see those analytics.
Well,
so
I'm just,
they
I'm
could
just
say,
looking
I've
at
had
it.
600 views, right? And so that to another person would sound, oh, that person must be very interesting. But those 600 people, there might have been 559 that zapped out in 3 minutes.
But that's that's okay, because I'm talking about it from the point of view of you as the listener.
Yeah, and
so
I'm
what you do is you stick with it, and you find it far more satisfying than the same length of time spent watching 100 short form videos.
Right, and I'm looking at it from the other point of view, which is where are we getting our information from? That is real information about our time span of what we're watching and whether we are actually way too overstimulated, and it looks like people are watching these videos, but they're actually not, and they're actually zapping through.
Well, as you say, that the video owner, the podcaster knows.
Mm. Yeah. But we could report it. We could say, in fact, zapping through my page, you might see a lot of views on that, but that doesn't mean that I have been listened to the very end. Maybe it should be set up so that the real information would come at the end of the video if the person had watched all the way through. That I would be interested in, because I think our time span on what captivates us, if you don't captivate me within 5 minutes, I'm probably and haven't got me included in your conversation.
So there's kind of two
I'm
things.
Gone.
Yeah, like I have to think like that now. I can't save the best bit for the end.
Yeah.
Like, especially if we're
podcasting. It's not a story, huh?
Although I say I have to think like that, but I'm doing radio and podcast at the same time, so it's a bit confusing. But the other thing is that people build a relationship with their favourite podcasters often, and so they will go back, and then they'll just listen to anything that they're doing. So you can put important information, peppered all through it. Not just right at the start.
Yeah, right.
But it's much more of a slow burn, and it takes longer to build up an audience. But I know, but people are sticking through and listening to that stuff because they're making money out of it, and they'd have to show the analytics. They'd have to show that actually people are listening past the 3 minute mark.
And
I know the data's available, and they can just show it to the advertisers and say, look, you know, a million people listen to this all the way through.
That would be good. That would be real information. And
it is out there. And sometimes people show it for their stuff occasionally.
I think that would be interesting. That's just interesting to me, we're at.
I'm confident it happens.
Yeah, I'm sure it does happen. Aaron, I'm sure people do listen through to the end, and I have people that I listen to.
Yeah.
You know, but would I listen to them over and over and over? Probably not, unless they've got some information that I find really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I've got podcasters I like. I don't listen to all their stuff, but if they've got something I'm interested in, then I know that they'll talk about it in a way that works for me.
I was thinking, you know, back in the day, when we would get the radio on. That was the thing, to get up on the Sunday morning.
So back in the day,
we're
on the radio now.
When we'd get up on a Sunday morning and listen to the radio shows. You know, that was, and we would listen, we wouldn't even think of not listening all the way through.
Well, because there wasn't anything else.
That's right.
You know?
And so we have so much, what I'm trying to say is that it interests me that we're trying to go back to where we've come from, which is to get people to listen to us all the way through and not zap out because we can. Right, we couldn't back then, or we could turn the radio off, but basically that connection was something we were looking for, because we weren't getting it anywhere else back then. You know, through the radio was the only connection we had with an outside voice that wasn't known to us. You know, that was interesting, and so it captivated us. But now, to hear that. You know, the word podcast to me, it just sounds like an old radio show that we used to listen to.
The point of it is that you get to start it and pause it when you want. That's the big difference. You don't. Yeah, it's on demand.
Right.
And we are used to now. We're now used to on demand, and we like it better than having to. We can fit it around our lives rather than fitting our lives around right. the constant stream of TV right. or radio.
So now we don't sit around with the family and listen to that radio show. We would listen to it on our own, well, separated in snippets.
That's so many generations ago since the family sat around together.
But the idea...
That's pre-TV.
The idea, that though, back then, was to bring people together, right? The idea now, even though it might seem like it's to captivate you for an hour, you're telling me, well, we might listen to 10 minutes here and 15 minutes here.
I'm saying that
snippets.
Some of the short form stuff is like that, and it's like, here's a new thing, here's a new thing, here's a new thing. And I'm saying this long form podcast is the opposite of that, and that people are hungry for it. Probably because of the short form stuff. But I want to go back to the point of the family sitting around listening to the radio was to bring people together. But what people used to do before then, what my mother's family used to do, was they all played instruments. And so they'd all play music together. So even though I'm involved in radio, I'm still critical of all those forms of media took us away from our human connections. Because there was a family that was... My grandfather was a pretty grumpy guy.
Hmm.
My grandmother was really lovely, but they all came together and did something meaningful together by playing music together. And that doesn't happen now. No one in most of us haven't got musical ability in my immediate family right now, so I don't know what would have happened. But,
My dad would pull the guitar out after dinner. That was our thing as a family. We would get round and music. Yeah.
In fact, I used to have flatmates who were musical, and we didn't even have a TV. We were like, forget the TV. A lot of us in our 20s were like, we don't need the TV, and if we wanted to watch some particular show, we'd go around to our mate's place. But yeah, they'd play music a lot, and yeah. I loved it.
And games, board games, card games. I mean, yeah. Anything that was, it's all about connection, isn't it? And just bringing people together, bringing your family together. Social media doesn't really do. We've got the same thing today. Families can be together, but we're all on our phones looking individually on our own devices.
It was so much better when it was all a TV and everyone was looking at the same screen.
Well,
and it's like, it wasn't really that much better.
Not really. The fish and chips on Friday night was good.
It is better because you're watching the same thing and you're sharing that experience, but it's not the same as an interactive experience.
Yeah, I would disagree because I never really enjoyed sitting down with my family watching a movie. I always found it boring.
But you can't sit still. You were telling me this earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I'd get bored and I'd be like, and I'm still like that. I know the storyline. I know what's going to happen here. There's no surprises, guys. It's been the same all the way through the movies.
Oh, must be a real downer to watch a movie with.
I am, because I like, so we're going to have the drastic bit coming up, and then we're going to have the coming back together, and then we're going to have the ending. It's like, where's the surprise in this? So, yeah, I must admit. I'm a cartoon person, probably because there's a lot more colour in that and a lot more activity.
So you actually need the stimulation.
Yeah, I do. Those colours and the whole...
We're just talking about people being overstimulated and now you're admitting that you need stimulation.
Yeah, but I'm the same person that can be on my own and sit with my own company for hours, Aaron. So I don't think that overstimulation is a problem for me because I can totally... just be on my own and with nothing. And I love it. I love that peace and quiet. Yeah. And it's recognising those things within ourselves and making them healthy. So can I sit with my own self? Can I have no noise around me? Can I have calm and quiet and not be disturbed by that and wanting to fill it? That might be an indicator of being overstimulated, always wanting to fill the space, always needing something to be happening, something. If I'm on my own, that's wrong. I need to be with others or doing something. I need to be stimulated. that might be an indicator. Try sitting on your own for a while. Just have your own company and thoughts. That might be a bit scary for some people.
I think we've got a younger generation that's arrived in time for social media, and they're not actually used to being bored, which is kind of funny. I'm not. That's not one of these doom and gloom of the young people today. They're been ruined by social media. I'm just like, at some point they're going to have to learn how to get used to being bored. Perhaps they will have a perpetually stimulating life, but it is out there. And interesting things happen on the other side of boredom.
Exactly.
If you get
imagination,
through it, yeah,
daydreaming. These are the things. You know, daydreaming is a very natural thing for the brain to do. We need our mind to daydream so that the brain can relax, right? So the daydreamers, you know, the kids that are daydreaming and we snap them out of it, actually they're relaxing. This is their way, their natural way of going.
Yeah, you get in trouble for daydreaming.
Overstimulated, you know, I need to just have some me time. But we have taught this stuff out of the natural ways that we may respond to overstimulation or too much information.
That's actually true. Maybe we need to point the finger back at us ourselves as the adults. We're always telling our kids to stop daydreaming.
Stop daydreaming. Stop. Focus more. You're not paying attention. True.
Thank you for that.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm zoning out because actually right now I need to.
Yeah, and they do. As a kid, you instantly... They're much more in tune with themselves, so they are just going to zone out and stare into space.
Yeah, well, I was one of those kids. I was one of those be caught staring out the window into no man's land off somewhere.
I still remember the one time I glanced out a window when my science teacher was talking about something probably very boring. And I was such a dutiful kid, but at this one moment I glanced out the window, he looked at me and told me off.
Oh,
and I still remember the injustice of it all.
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh, the injustice.
How dare he.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But for many kids that come from very stressful home lives or
zoning out,
tension at home.
Yeah.
Zoning out at school might be an indicator of that, or might be an indicator that, you know, the child is just overwhelmed right now. Could be just that they need some time out. But we just want to snap everyone back into focus because we've got things to do. And that's fair enough.
Targets,
you know,
to meet,
sometimes we have to
teach.
But I want to encourage people that actually daydreaming is very relaxing. It's very healthy for us. It's very good for us. It's a natural way of.
It's a meditative state.
It's a meditative state where our brain can go, ooh, our mind can just stop for a moment, and we seem to go offline, which is just fine. If you've got somebody who's in that state all the time, obviously that's not a good thing. You know, you've got to use common sense, but it is a natural form of our way of us trying to relax.
Yeah. Hey folks, we're talking to Marie Hartworth, local counsellor therapist, and we did start off talking about the comedic idea of online relaxation. I thought that was a really funny phrase, but the overstimulation and what that might be doing to us. And I've got to recommend a book, Stolen Focus by Johan Hari, and I bought this last year and I've talked about it on the radio before. There's lots of we can buy the book, or you can probably find some 1 minute video clips about it, but
probably
why you can't pay attention. Yeah, why you can't pay attention. The stolen focus, and it's not purely about social media. It talks about other things too, and this is a really good thing to take the pressure off yourself. Like, why do I lack the self discipline? The best minds in the world have devoted themselves to keeping you attached to your device. Right? It's not just because you lack willpower; it's because the smartest people in the world have been given lots of money and time and technology and research, everything that they could possibly need to figure out how to keep you on your device.
Scary.
I mean,
it is.
You are up against it. We need to get off our own backs, and we need to get off the backs of anyone who... I mean, I've seen plenty of adults complain about kids and their devices. Well, you know...
So we've always had something to complain about. When in my generation, it was, you know, you listen to too much music, and
your eyes will go square from watching TV. That was one.
Your eyes will go square.
What was that about?
I don't know, because there's always fear in the unknown.
But you know what? Like I was that generation that grew up watching TV. When I left home and went to a student hostel, we didn't watch the TV there. There was too many interesting things happening.
Too much going on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you were living life. I mean, you were probably trying to escape.
And then when I went flatting afterwards, sometimes we had a TV and sometimes we decided we didn't want a TV.
Yeah, yeah.
That we'd rather have a lively flat to live in.
How wonderful.
With lots of social activity. So this is why I don't worry that much about the young ones dealing with social media now? Because, I mean, there will be problems, but I think they'll get on top of it. I think it's older.
I do too.
I think it's older people who struggle to get on top of social media. I really do. I think you've got more. You actually have more willpower when you're younger. When you decide you want to do something, you've got more energy and you've got more power,
more energy
and time and space to do it.
Yeah.
It's actually harder for older people to break the cycle, I feel.
And is it so bad for old people? If their world.
When I say older, I'm including us as well.
Oh.
Just not young ones.
Oh.
Not teens and people in their 20s. I'm talking about.
Well, I was talking about older, like, you know, it's getting a bit harder because I'm getting older now. So it's like, oh, what is that old point now? So I don't know. I'm talking about 80-year-olds.
People like us who are over 30, Marie.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so those over 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
Okay, so I might go a little bit older, really older.
Yep.
So for some age groups, maybe it's not a bad thing because they are on their own and it is a connection device and they can feel connected. So I think it may have its place in some age groups where online maybe is great for them because it's, you know, at least they feel they're involved.
Well, that's something radio is actually really good for.
And radio.
Because you want to be tuned in to what's happening now.
Yes.
And the community. And right now it's this conversation, but later on it might be something else. Tomorrow it'll be someone else.
Well, unfortunately for my mum, it was 1ZB, I think. I know. And the trouble with
talkback?
Yes, and the trouble with that is that we got all the regurgitated, well, I did, all the regurgitated conversations.
I take it back. Listen to your community radio, folks.
Yeah.
Don't listen to a commercial radio because the same things are going on there. They're trying to keep you on, and especially talkback. They're using controversy to keep you listening, so you'll listen to their ads.
Well, it's just so negative, and you know what we've got to realise is that negativity comes out of us and gets regurgitated into our family. So when we're listening to things like that, talk back where people are very opinionated and everyone's got something to say and it's whoa, and then you get riled up and it's, ooh, you know, ooh, it's got to come out somewhere. Someone's going to hear what you're holding back. It's going to come out. So, I didn't find it the best thing. My mum used to even sleep to that. She'd have it on. Yeah, I know. And I was like, oh, my lords. And I'd hear so much stuff that was coming from that radio. That conversations with her were quite difficult because
she couldn't talk about anything else because she was just wired into that.
Wired into it, yeah, totally. And I'm not sure our kids are like that, you know. They're not going that way. I think this generation will get, most of it, probably get bored with social media in the end. I think you're right. I think there are different age groups that may be more connected to it that are older. Than this younger one because they're more savvy. They're like, you know, they'll have certain things that they're connecting into, but
they get
drawn into believing that our youth are being sucked up by the social media. I think they're a bit more cleverer. Let's give them some credit.
An interesting comment too from someone who was part social commentator, part business analyst, about the social media companies are changing their names. Like Facebook's name is Meta.
Yeah.
And Twitter is now X. And there was another one somewhere else. And it's like these are companies that have established the biggest, most well-known brands in the world. And normally in a business situation, you would never change your name.
Like Reebok or Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Coca-Cola would never change its name. No. That would be business suicide.
Pepsi. Right?
But
the fake Coca-Cola thingy, you know, whatever.
But the bad feeling that social media have generated in the world are so bad that they're changing their names. And we still call Facebook Facebook, and I don't know what we're going to call
Twitter.
Do you think
that's why they changed it? I don't know why they changed it.
Facebook is...
I thought it might have had something to do with taxes and you keep your name for so long. No, it's got nothing to do with that.
They've got specialists for that as well, don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah, the taxes, they're doing fine with their taxes, I'm sure. It's a PR thing. Like Facebook was getting so much bad media and so much bad press, and they had that thing, you might have heard the phrase Cambridge Analytica scandal or something like that, where it's been revealed that because Facebook is, and all the social media is so good at collecting data, people were able to buy the data and use it to sway elections.
Whoa, that does my head in.
I know. And there's all
I just did a flip then. I don't even know what that means, Aaron. What does that mean even?
It means that they can send targeted ads to certain groups, like men between 50 and 60 with certain types of interests. They say, we want those people to see these Facebook memes that will get them riled up and make them want to go out and vote this way.
Wow.
Or they actually, sometimes they just put out straight out lies. They're literally, like when Brexit was happening in the UK or an election over there a few years ago, they just put actual lies out to those people because you can't follow up and you know, legally they removed the person who made the decision to start the campaign is removed from the person doing the work.
Oh, wow.
And then they pay someone else to put the memes out.
And tricky.
And you can't trace it anyway. And then you can say, oh, it was a mistake, by which point the damage is done. So, you know, we spent years hearing about how Trump was in bed with Vladimir Putin in Russia and how Russia swayed the Trump election, which is just utter nonsense. It's not verified at all by any facts on the ground. At the same time, easily verifiable facts about it happening within our own Western sphere.
Right.
Yeah. So, sorry, I've got off onto this topic.
That's fine, but you know what? It does – it what I'm getting
– So Facebook – this is the bad publicity they're getting for that, but also because they know that Instagram's really bad for the mental well-being of teenage girls. Just that's the primary one, but probably everybody. And so, yeah, they changed their name to get a name that didn't have all the bad connotations. So they're called Meta. And Twitter, which is a hotbed of seething anger, is now called X. Which is very strange. A lot of people are scratching their heads about it, but yeah.
Yeah, I did see something about that. So we're talking it's a little about bit to do with
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. There we go.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a little bit of probably something there, but this guy I was reading was making this point that it's really interesting that these huge brands are actually changing their names, which normally would be a complete and utter no-no. In the business world, but because they've just got so much negative publicity and so many bad connotations now.
Stressful,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah, it might be this current period of social media is just a phase, and in 20 years' time we'll look back and go, glad that's over. Who knows? I don't know. It's really hard to predict. It's really, really hard to predict the future.
I think we're in that cusp.
Something's going to change. Yeah.
Of something is shifting, I think we are moving into new ground with technology in regards to AI and even robotics and what we can do now. And yeah, I think there's things.
But I think ultimately people will start to demand, like they've gravitated already, some people, to long form podcasts, which is a much more nourishing form of media than short form video.
So tell me about the podcast. Where can we find them, Aaron? Give us some information.
Well, on raglanradio.com.
Oh, okay.
But this, we don't actually have any really long-form ones, so this is a bit tongue-in-cheek. This interview I'm doing with you is probably our longest form of interview that we do. But, I mean, everybody's heard of Joe Rogan. He kind of started it. But there's lots of others. But you just search. You go into, if you've got Spotify app or Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, or there's lots of podcast platforms out there. And the hardest thing is finding something that's what you want to listen to.
Yeah, that's what I was just trying to figure out. So, okay, so you have to do
a bit of work, yeah.
And then you got to find somebody that you're interested in.
Or a subject.
And then you'd want to probably research a little bit because, you know, you wouldn't want to just take at face value that this person is actually credible in what they're saying.
So I'm not recommending it from the point of view of accurate news. I'm recommending it from the point of view of something that's more nourishing for your soul to listen to as a form of media. Right?
It's interesting. I've been told by a few people in the last 6 months that I should be doing podcasts, and I don't know anything about them.
You should
be
listening or doing?
Doing.
Well, you are doing one now because we're going to podcast this interview.
Right.
And you know that because people...
Yeah, that's an interview to me. Okay, so they go on podcasts, and this is what a podcast is.
It's the same thing. It's just that it's a recorded file, so you can listen to it whenever you like.
Yeah, right.
But there is... But from my perspective, as the person making the podcast or the interview, there are a little bit different ways you might go about doing it and structuring it. It's not really an issue for you as the person being interviewed. But it is, it's essentially the same thing, just with a different approach to it.
So is this any better? I don't know.
Well, it still doesn't beat real life nourishing human interaction.
Nothing will ever
and,
beat
and
that.
And it is a substitute for it, and it also distracts us from it. If we didn't have any media, suddenly we'd all go out on the street and say hello to each other.
I wonder what we would do, eh?
We would be stepping out, staring at the sun, going,
we'd be like, oh, hi.
But yeah, you'd look, go searching for human company. Well, a lot of people would. Other people would still be feeling shy, but yeah, you just would go searching for human company.
It would be an interesting. It would be interesting to see what our reaction would be, but yeah, we would come back to our humanness pretty quickly.
We'd become more creative. I had this experience when I was between 12 and 14, which some people might have heard me mention about. My family went to Tokelau, which was three little atolls north of Samoa, about 500 Ks. No media. Nothing. We could pick up Radio New Zealand with shortwave radio. There was not even a telephone. When we arrived there, there was just these three radio telephones, one on each atoll back to a base in Samoa. That was it. And Mum remembers that me and my brother, our levels of creativity went up.
Mm.
Because
you probably started daydreaming too.
Probably, yeah.
You probably did.
It was warm and, you know, there was a lot of daydreaming.
And you had time and you probably didn't think of time. Time wasn't an issue.
The locals didn't. They lived in a time-free world, which is very frustrating to the Palangi men like my father who'd been sent to get certain things done. And the locals were just going on a completely different time scale. But that, you know, that's the story. That's island time. That's an old,
that's such an old story.
That one,
But isn't it? But even the idea of island time brings peace. It brings the idea of a palm tree and water and a beach. You know, we think we get calm.
Tokelau's are so friendly as well. They were really fantastic. We just hang out with the other kids.
I wonder why that is. They didn't have anything over there to tell them anything different. Like, they could just be who they were.
They also hadn't been, like, colonised in the way that some cultures had been, by force.
Yeah.
I mean, three little atolls with almost no economic resources. The Western world wasn't that interested in them, so...
How amazing. Yeah, I must admit, it sounds wonderful.
But now they have the internet. It actually blows my mind. That completely transforms what that culture would be like.
I'm sure it has. Very sad. You know, when I remember going up to Vanuatu for a holiday, me and my husband don't really get out of the country, and we thought, oh well, this would be a nice place to go, and it was a beautiful place to go, but it was also soul destroying for me. I'm not likely to leave the country again because I don't do poverty well.
Yeah.
I can't do richness and poverty.
Side by side.
It was devastating for me. But what was probably more heartbreaking was the huge posters I saw of internet, fiber internet here soon. And it was all these kind of Americanized faces, very white and very full of, when you pump that stuff into your skin to make you...
Oh, Botox.
Full of Botox, looking very unnaturally not human. These posters all over Vanuatu of what was coming. And I mean, we're living what was coming to them. We're already living it. And I'm like, oh, please don't come here. Please don't do this to them. Please don't muddy their waters,
they wouldn't be ready. It'd take a generation to kind of get used to... I don't know how long it would take.
Well, actually, I talked to some of the locals here, and, I mean, we're talking probably 7 years ago when I was there now, but and some of the locals that, you know, we interacted with and talking about the youth and, you know, the change that was coming with the internet, with phones, with everything, and they were like, well, we've pretty much lost our youth. We've lost our youth. They want to get off the island. They've seen a picture of the cities.
They think it's really boring now, and that's a problem for Tokelau, is that the kids think it's so boring. And I can understand that.
They've seen it online, and they want to go there because they feel like they're missing out on something, and that's the message that is
That's the underlying value of all media, in that it's trying to sell something, and it is trying to create FOMO. It is trying to create... make you feel like you're missing out on something. Yeah. That's the biggest way they've got of selling you stuff. So that's just going to be underlined the whole of media everywhere.
And so these beautiful island-thinking people, youth, families, whatever, young people, you know, what the feedback that we heard back then was from these adults. They were saying, well, you know, we had kids who were out playing, you know, playing ball, playing, just being what they've always been, fishing, swimming, surfing, whatever they do, you know, on the islands, to kids who were walking around with their heads down on their phone. This was new to them. This wasn't new to us. And this was new to them. Arrived. And I was hearing their story about what they were experiencing with these youth, where they had seen the light being taken out of their youth's eyes.
And like, it was so sudden.
Yeah, it was sudden.
And there's no resistance to it. Our kids probably have the better ability to put the phone down than their kids did, because they've grown up a little bit more in it.
That's it. And so there was this absorption from these youth of what they were seeing our lives were like, and believing that they were missing out on something. It was heartbreaking to think that that message was going into these young people, when I wanted to say, you're not missing out on anything. You have a beautiful life. You have got so much happiness here and so much joy and so much freedom. You have no idea how trapped you will be in this world that you want to get into. It's quite devastating to have – well, it was – heartbreaking, I think, for me to see that.
I want to bring up one thing, and it's near the end, so I'm kind of leaping in here, which, and some people aren't going to like this because I tend to talk about issues surrounding schools, but I watched a documentary once about how bringing the Western education system into new cultures actually has the same effect, where the young people are like, you need to learn this and you learn this and then you can go and become a doctor, or you can become a, you know, this is how you get ahead in the world. And the old people said, you know, that they had the education, they went away to university, they came back and they're useless. They can't plant the plants that we need to plant. They can't grow this. They can't make this stuff. They just sit around looking into space.
With their certificate, with their degree.
And because the point of – one of the things education does, it doesn't just give you facts. It actually changes how you are as well, the effect of going to school compared to not going to school. And I've got to say, I'm not being hard on teachers. Teachers go to work at schools because they care about people. That's in the mix too. But it was really stark in these cultures that were still living fairly traditional ways that we kind of idealize in the Western world, that the kids went through their Western education system and they weren't really able to fit back into that easily. And if they'd had a device, they would have watched it. And I think a lot of our kids' device watching is downtime from the stresses of school, especially if you're not a gregarious person. If you're an introvert, school must be quite exhausting.
Absolutely. In fact, school's
pretty tiring anyway. Like, I think most people would accept that.
And there's the idea of what is educated. So those beautiful children that were, you know...
What does educated mean?
Transplanted into another cultural way of being as far as what is success...
Yeah.
Right. They came back to their cultural being, where they came from, and that success means nothing.
And my experience of Tokelau was that was a culture that was still living pretty much in harmony with the environment. Right. Genuine indigenous culture that lived, that didn't destroy the environment. We'd bought them aluminium dinghies and motors and a bit of electricity. But at the time I was there in the 80s, if that had all disappeared, they just could have continued on.
They would have survived.
With their completely sustainable lifestyle.
Yeah.
But now we've bought them two generations of all this technology.
So they're losing that richness.
The way they live. I mean, I haven't been back, but we're taking – there is what we aspire to be, a sustainable culture.
Yeah.
And we're changing it. And every time our Western culture – or industrial culture finds a sustainable culture somewhere, we go, we've got to educate them, and we take them away from their sustainable culture.
So what is that education? Yeah, so it's an idealism, you know, anything. It's just an idea, it's a theory. Theories come from thoughts. thoughts of what somebody has, you know, over time, they've tested this out and it looks like it works, so let's go by this theory. I mean, everything's based out of a theory. Education is based out of a theory. It's based out of thoughts and thinking people, you know. So and that's all good. We want to be enriched by...
You're saying this as a counsellor, I know, because we had a discussion before we came on the air, so I know as a person-centred counsellor, you don't want to bring theories and ideals and idealism into your counselling. You just want to deal with what is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I might, there's a tools that might support different people, you know, different personality types, things work better with. But the expert in a person's life is the person. They are the expert. You cannot be the expert for them. Okay. You cannot tell them about their experience.
So
they are the expert.
So would you use that approach? I know we're way over time, but would you use that approach if you were counselling someone because they were using too much social media, you'd still use that approach, that person-centred?
Well, they're the only one that can tell me their experience. Yeah. I mean, I could inform them of experience about that, how it can, you know, drain us and it overstimulates us. I'm informing you, but that's not their experience. I need to know what's your experience. If I don't know that, then I'm trying to now tell you what your experience is. And that, I think, can put us back into places where we feel insignificant because, you know, you're now telling me my experience. Right? And I kind of sat through something like that last night when I went to something and I was sitting through somebody telling us their experience. And when you've got somebody sitting there listening to experience, when they have their own, it can cause kind of like, well, hang on a minute, that's not my experience. You're telling me your experience. That's yours, not mine. We might have had the same experience, but how I experience it will be different than yours. So when we put a theory around that and we try and tell people this is the way it is, what we're doing is lumping everybody in under that same theory as though everyone works the same way, and we don't. So when we try and change people to fit a theory or fit a belief, we're trying to change the person. We can't change
that person. So mass population solutions to social media, one size fits all solutions, probably aren't going to work.
No, it's not going to work because for some it works and for some it doesn't. For some it's healthy, for some it's unhealthy.
People might find their own way to handling it, to dealing with it.
It's more about being informed. Like, well, how's it working for you? Do you feel relaxed? Are you feeling more calm after watching that? What are you watching? Are you being aware of what you're watching? Everything is about the experience of what it means for me, because I'm informed by where I come from and my experiences that I've had. So anything tagged on top of that is going to be filtered through my own experiencing. So how you experience it, how I experience it, can be two different things. Okay, let's just put it like this before we leave. So I have a fear of water, drowning, because I had experience when I was younger, right? So let's say we're at the beach and we're just walking along and I see a kid in the water and there's water splashing around and it looks dangerous to me, right? I think that kid's drowning.
Yeah.
I get a response from me, oh my, this kid's drowned, somebody do something, right? I've gone into highly motivated to do something. You see the kid and you see a kid who's just splashing around in the water having fun. You know?
Yeah.
I see somebody drowning because of my experience. You see a kid who's just having fun going under the water, getting up and down and having fun. I'm going into trauma. You're wondering what the heck's going on with me. Like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And I'm like, the kid's drowning. Like, it's just having fun in the water.
But also, you might think, what's wrong with me? I'm being not.
Yeah,
being,
can't you see?
Yeah, you're not being careful with that child. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So the whole, we are informed by our own experiences and how that has been for me, not how it has been for you. So that's how I would, I'm never an expert on someone's life because they will surely show me where I'm not if I'm open to listening.
I feel like we're about to start a whole new discussion, but we're so far out of time.
We are.
It is time for us to go. So, folks, we've been talking to Marie Harworth, local counsellor therapist. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Yep.